reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. He's never too busy to hear your heart cry. He's really like my heart, your need is a lie. Just be service. I was thinking about this young man's testimony. You know that you can come to service and people all around you can be shouting and having a good time. They can be praising God. They can be hopping and jumping and rolling. But you know, you will never get the blessing until you reach out. You reach out. Until you get your hand and say, God, I want the blessing. Lord, fill my soul with your spirit, with your kindness and your goodness. We can't rub off. We can't get what we need from people beside us. Let's sing it again. Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. You find He's not to be something all lined out. All my notes wrote down and everything. I was just going to fire it away. But the Lord changed my mind. He wants me to say something else, so I'm going to follow the Lord.
Sure.
I wanted, this morning, I said, well, everybody's done said what they want to say this morning. I enjoyed Sunday school this morning. I really got something out of it. And I said, well, they probably heard enough of that, and I'm going to get on something else. But I think I'll just follow what God wants me to. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible, turn to John.
Praise God.
Praise.
Glory to Jesus.
John 37. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. I believe it's John 7. Praise God. When I looked in here, there wasn't no 37. I said, Lord, what's going on here? Okay, somebody done stole 37. Okay, it's 7. Verse 37. There we go. Praise God. 37 through 39. And on that day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For Jesus had not been crucified, and the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus had not yet been crucified. I want to zero in on one passage of scripture. If any man thirst, let him come unto me.
Oh God, that's right.
Let him come unto me.
Amen.
They talked this morning about the tabernacle in the wilderness. In the Old Testament, it was a type and a shadow of the New Testament.
Right.
It said, let any man, any. In the Hebrew, the word any doesn't mean all. It means kind. Jews, Gentiles, whatever. Okay, not it doesn't mean all. Let any, meaning let whoever will. But he must do it.
That's right.
In the wilderness, in the tabernacle, once a year they would bring their sacrifices, their offerings, to the priest. And that priest would have to go into that tabernacle, slaughter the animal, cut it up a certain way, sacrifice it, take the fire from the sacrifice, take it in, put it in the burning incense. See, and all that, all these things. And the people would wait outside in fear. In fear. And just things, I don't know if the Bible recognized this or not, but in books that I've read about the tabernacle and study of the tabernacle, they said that they would bring and they would tie rope around the foot of the priest in case that he didn't please God and God struck him dead. They'd just drag him out and let somebody else go in there.
Oh, see? God, my Lord.
Because there was a fear there. There was something there that gripped their heart. They knew that they had sinned. They knew who they were. But they knew what to do to get right with God. They knew what to do in case that something happened.
Oh God.
They knew what God expected of them.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when I think of this, my mind travels in it. Why does people... It's so easy for us to live for God, but people know that, but they don't do it. They don't do it. And that's what's so, that hurts so bad, I guess you could say, is that people know the Bible, they know what it takes to live for God, they know it's easy, but they don't want to turn over a leaf. They don't want to make their mind up. But once a year, the priest would take their animal in, their sacrifice, their offering, and offer it up for them. And as the priest would walk into the tabernacle, the golden candlestick would be to his left, the shewbread to his right, the burning incense, and then the holiness of holies, where the curtain was there, and behind that was the Ark of the Covenant. Each thing in this tabernacle represented something for the New Testament. The candlestick was the light of the Word. The bread had frankincense sprinkled on it. Frankincense is very bitter. Bitter on the outside, but sweet on the inside. So each thing represented something going into the tabernacle. So many things. But you know, along came Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Before his crucifixion, before these things happened, before he had to die on a rugged cross of shame and agony, I was talking to a minister one time and he said, the thing is, what hurts so bad is that he didn't do the things they accused him of. You know, when I was a child, as he said, and I got punished, it was okay if I knew I did it.
Yeah.
It was all right, but it hurt twice as bad to know I didn't do it. And it stayed a long time with me. See, and that's what pushes and pulls and tugs. That's what makes it that much worse. But there came a time when Jesus was crucified, and he hung there, and when he gave up the ghost, the curtain was rent and torn. The word rent in Hebrew means to open. Not just tear, but opened all the way. Freely was opened. And every man, any man, he must come. He must come. When we were children, when we did things, when we were small, it was our parents' obligation, our parents' duty to watch after us. No, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. This is what you can do. But there came a time when we had to make up our own mind. There came a time when Jesus said, okay, I'm going to take all this away. I'm going to take out the priest. He's not going to have to do it no more. And what left? What happened when that curtain was opened? It took away fear. Fear was the main thing, was the main object that people were afraid of. They were afraid of fear. Fear. But see, that every year had to happen. They had to drag that old animal up there. They had to get up there and do all these things for an atonement. Just roll it ahead one year. But see, now we don't have to do that.
Thank you,
all we have to do is repent.
Thank you, Lord.
Repent. That's what they were doing. All they were doing was saying, I know I'm wrong. I know I've sinned. I need something to roll my sins ahead. I need something to push my sins ahead so God won't come and get me right now. Won't kill me. Won't take me out of the picture. See? It's not so bad to repent. It's not so hard to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know I'm wrong. It's not hard. You know, David had failed so many times, but he was a man of God's own heart. He was a man of God's own heart because when he did wrong, he come to God and said, God, I'm not perfect. Lord, I'm not perfect by no means. I'm not perfect. No man is perfect. No woman, child, boy, girl. Nobody is perfect. That's why the Word is here. That's why repent is here. How many times do we know I'm wrong? You know, people, when they say, well, you got to be a sinner to, or somebody that don't know nothing about God to come up here and repent. No, no, no. People that are know God's Word, that have lived in God's Word, that have drifted from God's Word. You know why the children of Israel was in bondage so much? Because they would drift from God's Word all the time. Drift from God's Word. They would repent and be delivered out of bondage. And then they would drift back in, back and forth, until God just said, now look. Now look, this can't go on like this. See? So there come a time when they made up their own mind. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, let that person, that individual, let you and I come up here. Sit in your seat. Repentance doesn't mean an altar. Repentance doesn't mean a bench or a pew. It means your heart. In your heart. Repent in your heart. That's what it's all about. In your heart. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, that you go by the Word, repent by the Word. Praise the Lord. And when these children of Israel would repent, they would find themselves in a better standing with God. And that's what it took. That's what it took is repentance. 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 I can't help but get that word, repentance. My God died. My Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. A man so high, a God, that he died for me. How can we turn him away and say, Lord, I can't live for you like I should because I've got too many things on my mind. I'd like to sing another song.
All right.
Praise Lord. But you know what? This song, it says, I was nowhere. I had drifted so far from God. You know, so many times I've heard people say that their testimony, somebody's testimony stuck with them all their life. Well, one time Brother Rendell had come to Balkanville, and I heard him say that so many times he had said, God, talk to me, talk to me, and he never heard nothing. But when the Holy Ghost fell, and that Holy Ghost come in, he realized that every time that God dealt with him, that was God talking to him. That was God saying, child, come forth. Child, come forth. I don't want to be like the man at the pool. Been there 38 years. Just laying there. 38 years. And God said, would you be healed? And he started giving all these excuses. The water's troubled tonight. The water's troubled tonight. He made a way where we wouldn't have to do anything but be ourselves. And not just for this one or this one, but any man. Any man. Praise the Lord. Any man. Anybody. Listen to the words. I've never sung this in church or anything. I fooled around with it, but I want to try it anyway. Praise the Lord. The lowest chance I've ever known, looking back to where I've been, I've gone so far away, there was no turning back to Him. With nothing left of what He gave, I've long been spent so alone, but still He carried me when I could not see on my own. Jesus, help me without my knowing He was there all along. Every step of the journey in the cold of my life, but He loved me all the way home. The miles now steps, the nights now days, to think His love has always been, though I'd long to stray, He led me all the way in His hand. My life in Him, His love's in me. Oh, it's more than all this world could be. I know the peace He leaves whenever I'm in need. Oh, He lives, yes, He lives. Jesus, help me without my knowing He was there all alone. Every day of the journey in the cold of my life, but He loved me all the way home. You know, every time that I look back now to where I've been, every time my mind travels and says, look, recall just a minute how many times that God dealt with you and what you went through in your life. And it comes to reality that it was God. That was God dealing with me. That was God when I wrecked my car. Or that was God when I got put in jail. Or that was God when He did something that just shook my wagon. And I look back and I say, God, thank you. Thank you for bringing me to repentance. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a chance to serve you like I think I should and like I ought to. It's your turn. You gonna live the rest of your life going and saying, well, I'm gonna do it someday. It's never gonna work. It'll never work. Praise God. Let's all just stand and worship the Lord for just a minute. Praise God. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's the night that you have been waiting for. Do you feel that tug at your heart? Do you feel something saying, I just got to get right with God. I can't go on any longer. Tonight is the night. Are you going to be like the Israel children and say, God did things for me before. He'll do them again. You might not get another chance. Prayer. And every time you wait, every moment that you keep, you know, I can't express what I feel because I was there. I was there. And don't cop out on yourself and say, well, I've got too many things that's going wrong in my life. Too many things. Partner, if you knew the problems that some of our saints have had and come through victoriously, then you would say, I can do anything through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. Don't try to solve them yourself. Don't try to keep on and say, well, I'm going to do it as soon as I iron out these problems, because you'll never iron them out. You serve God and let God take care of them. Is that right? You serve God and let God take care of the problems and the things. You give Him your burden. Praise the Lord. Every time that you wait, every moment, it don't get any better. It sticks with you and stays and grinds until you sear your conscience with a hot iron. Praise God. Praise God. Listen towards the God. Think about it. Just a second. Are you going to wait any longer? Are you
going
to surrender your heart tonight and let God take care of you? What better day than today to make up your mind to live for God? What better day? If you feel God in your heart, you can step out and come forward.